If you're happy you're saved tonight, would you say amen?
Amen.
We're in 2 Samuel chapter number 23. Appreciate the amigos and the ministry by song tonight. It's good to have Miss Patty back with the amigos this evening. And so praise the Lord, Miss Patty, rejoicing in what God has done in your life physically. It's good to have you back. Church, isn't it good to have Miss Patty back? Amen and amen. Well, we're going to look tonight at a man named Benaiah. Benaiah is one of my favorite Old Testament people. Now, how many would say, I'm not really familiar with this man, Benaiah? Anybody tonight? Maybe he's a little bit new. We don't come across him too often, so we'll give a little bit of background. But let me just say this, and I hope you understand my heart. Benaiah was a bad, bad man, but in a really good way, all right? And so he was a bad, bad man, but in a really good way. He did some incredible things. You look at the verse that Brother Frank just read, and then we'll go one verse farther. Verse number 20, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. Verse 21, and he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Benaiah was a bad, bad man, but in a very good way. The kind of guy that I would want hanging out on my side. Amen. And David felt that way too. Benaiah wasn't just one of David's mighty men. In fact, as you follow Benaiah and his story through in the life of David, Benaiah becomes essentially David's bodyguard. He becomes the captain of those elite men who were David's bodyguard. Eventually, during King David's reign, he rose to the third highest rank in King David's army. During the reign of David's son Solomon, Benaiah became the supreme commander of all the army of Israel. Benaiah knew how to take care of business. But as we look at Benaiah, I want us to see this tonight. Benaiah exemplified what it meant to be a consistent and courageous soldier of the king. Benaiah exemplified what it meant to be a consistent, courageous soldier for the king. There was no excuses with this guy. He had a job to do, and he found a way to get it done. Church, we ought to be challenged by that. You know what? Our king still needs men and women who are willing to be consistent, courageous soldiers in his army for his glory. Our king still needs men and women, still needs boys and girls who are willing to stand up, recognize that we have been given a job to do, and find a way to get it done. So tonight I want to look at this man, what this man Benaiah did. And as we look at what this man Benaiah did, I want us to consider this thought. So what's our excuse from this man, Benaiah? And we're really going to look at just the last part of verse 20 together. It simply says this. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. Can I make this first application for us tonight? Roman numeral 1, God still calls us to do hard things. God still calls us to do hard things. This man killed a lion. A lion. You recognize lions can grow up to 10 feet long. That's not counting the tail. You recognize lions can weigh up to 550 pounds. You recognize a lion's roar can be heard for over 5 miles. You recognize lions can run up to 50 miles per hour. But Benaiah wasn't looking for a way to escape the beast. Benaiah was looking for a way to engage the beast. This man killed a lion. But you know what, soldiers of Jesus Christ, God still calls us, you and I, to be willing to do hard things. God calls us to do things that are hard. God still calls us to do things that are bigger than us. God still calls us to do things that are beyond us. Can I make this statement? God gives God-sized assignments. God gives God-sized assignments. So that means if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, He will stretch you. He will put you in places you are not comfortable. He will put you in places where you feel over your head. If you follow Christ, He will stretch you. You know, Jesus didn't mince words, did He, when He called us to follow Him? Jesus said exactly what He meant. Sometimes I believe the church and Christians are guilty of trying to sell Jesus and the gospel like it's a used car. And we want to have all of the lights and the sounds and the smoke and highlight everything and sell it like it's just... But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, we looked at a similar verse this morning, Matthew chapter 10. We'll begin in verse number 38. Jesus said, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know, there's a broad swath of what we call the church that is out there teaching how you can find your best life. Jesus taught us how to lose our life. If you follow the Lord Jesus, He will stretch you because God gives God-sized assignments. You know what? Embracing or engaging God-sized assignments, we'll call it chasing the lion, means you have to be willing to accept risk. You know, there was a risk when Benaiah set out after the lion that day. There was a great risk. Embracing and engaging God-sized assignments mean you have to be willing to accept risk. It means you have to be willing to embrace the unknown. I can't imagine this man made a habit out of killing lions. I mean, maybe he did. He did a lot of other crazy things in his life. Maybe he did. But when he set out chasing that lion that day, he didn't know how it was all going to go down. Church, we've got to get past this idea that I can serve God when and only when I know how it's all going to turn out. I can serve God when and only when I know that I'm going to prosper as I desire. I can serve God when and only when I know I can handle it. I can't tell you though how many times I've been told as pastor, I can't do that, or I've never done that before, or that just doesn't seem like something I'd be capable of. Church, what has happened to our willingness to take a risk, to embrace the unknown, to look past your own inadequacies, recognizing we have not arrived, but that should not stop us from chasing the lion, from embracing the God-sized assignment that He gives. You are never too old and you are never too young to do something great for God. You are never too old and you are never too young to dare to do something great for God. Young people, you're never too young to take a risk for God. Old people, you're never too old to take a risk for God. And I feel like in our congregation that God has been moving and God has been in certain hearts and in certain places and in certain ways to take that next step, to jump in, to get off the pew, to make a difference. God still calls us to do hard things. I'm going to tell you, as a church, our hearts ought to yearn for new frontiers. Our hearts ought to yearn for deeper waters. Our hearts ought to yearn that God would give us something great to do for His glory. God still calls us to do hard things. You know, when God gives a God-sized assignment, it ought to make us uncomfortable. It ought to make us feel a little bit over overwhelmed. But if you can do it safely on your own, are you really doing it in His strength? This man, Benaiah, he killed a lion. Let me ask you, what is God calling you to do? You know, maybe tonight God is calling you to be a better witness. And that makes you uncomfortable just even thinking about, you wish I'd move on. Why did I even have to stop there, start there? Maybe God is calling you to be a better witness. Benaiah killed a lion. What's our excuse? Maybe tonight God is calling you to make a difference in your workplace, to love your spouse. God is calling you to forgive. God is calling you. You say, but that's so hard. Yeah. So is killing a lion. Church, God doesn't apologize for giving us hard things to do. I tell you, we ought to rejoice that we have those opportunities for His glory. God calls us to do hard things. But that's not all Benaiah did. Because he didn't just kill a lion, did he, church? I mean, if that's all Benaiah did, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, he killed a lion. I want to know how he did it. Did he grab him by the beard? Did he use his sword? I don't know. What did he do? I don't know. But he did it. He killed a lion. But church, what else does it say? Verse 20. He went down also and slew a lion. Church, what? In the midst of what, church? In the midst of a pit. Let me make this second application for us tonight. God still calls us to do hard things. And He often calls us to do hard things in hard places. God still calls us to do hard things. And He calls us to do hard things in hard places. Benaiah didn't just kill a lion. He killed a lion in a pit. Now, if the lion was trapped in a pit, I would leave it alone. If the lion was trapped in a pit, I'm going home. Like, my job is done. I've chased him into a pit. Seems good enough for me. Hallelujah. We're going home. But not Benaiah. Benaiah found the lion in a pit, and Benaiah jumped down in. Now, here's the thing about pits. Pits tend to be confining. Pits tend to limit our mobility. Pits are less than an ideal place to fight a lion. If I'm going to fight a lion, I want wide open spaces and a lot of places to hide. Amen? Amen. But Benaiah jumped down in the pit. You know, home court advantage is a powerful thing. Powerful thing. I have the opportunity to coach our varsity basketball team here at Harvest. And I will tell you, as a coach, there are certain places that I hate to go play. I do. Typically, there's a couple of places that we play. And the problem is their gym is much smaller than a regulation court. And so we practice on our normal size court, and then we have to go play on the not so normal sized court. It changes the whole dynamic of the game. You can't spread out like you're used to. You can't run like you're used to. It changes the way you play defense. It changes everything. And I hate to go and play those places because they know how to play on the teeny court. Sometimes I try. Sometimes you'll know we're headed towards one of those games because sometimes I'll take our tables and I'll line them up going down and make our court teeny. But then boys end up hitting the tables and flipping over the tables. And I'm worried about them breaking themselves and breaking the tables. And it's just not good. We go those places and they have home court advantage. And unfortunately for us, home court advantage is a pretty powerful thing. When the other team has home court advantage, it can be hard and it can seem unnatural to do what we know we need to do. Church, we have to realize that we do not hold home court advantage in this world. Jesus stated in John 15 in verse number 19, "If ye were of the world would love his own, but ye are not of the world. But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 refers to Satan as the God, lowercase g, of this world. This world is not our home court. We are strangers. We are pilgrims. We are foreigners whose citizenship is in heaven. And every passing day, it becomes more and more blatantly obvious that we do not belong to this world. But God still calls us to do hard things in hard places. And I'd like to make this next statement in love. Our circumstances do not excuse our contentment or our cowardice. Our circumstances do not excuse our contentment or our cowardice. You say, "Preacher, but you just don't know the darkness where I work." God still calls us to do hard things in hard places. You say, "Preacher, but you just don't know. You just don't know what it's like where I live." God still calls us to do hard things in hard places. "Preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I'm coming out of. You don't know what I struggle with." God still calls us to do hard things and hard places. And I'm going to tell you, it's easy to justify the desire to pass on the pit. It's easy to say, "I don't need to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't need to go there." It is easy to justify the desire to pass on the pit, but someone needs to go and make a difference. Someone needs to go into the darkness of your workplace and be a light for the glory of God. Someone needs to go into your neighborhood where you live, into the house that you live, and be a light for the love of God. Someone needs to stand in this community for the truth of the Word of God. And oh, that the Church of Jesus Christ would embrace the challenge. That we be willing to do a hard thing in a hard place for the glory of God. You know, if that's all Benaiah did, that'd be pretty cool, right? I mean, the dude killed a lion. Not only did the dude kill a lion, he killed a lion in a pit. But you notice how that verse ended? Verse number 20, Don, if you could put that back up. The Bible says, "And he went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow." He killed a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. Make my third application tonight from this, and we'll be closing. God still calls us to do hard things. Amen, church. God still calls us to do hard things in hard places. Amen, church. God still calls us to do hard things in hard places, at hard times. God still calls us to do hard things in hard places, at hard times. Dude didn't just kill a lion. He killed a lion in a pit in the time of snow. You talk about Afghan refugees not being used to the cold and the snow. Last time I checked, Israel was in the Middle East. They're not exactly known for their heavy snowfalls. They do get some from time to time. It's not unheard of. But this would not be something that would be normal for Benaiah to have to deal with. This would not be something that he would be probably very comfortable working in. You know, if I had to kill a lion, and I had to kill a lion in a pit, why couldn't I at least have a decent day to do it in?
Why couldn't I at least have a little bit of sunshine? Amen. Why couldn't it at least be nice outside? You think about snow. The thing about snow is what? It is. It's slick. You see, lions, like all cats, have big old paws. Time of snow, what do you think? Advantage Benaiah or advantage lion? Advantage lion. But Benaiah had a job to do. And like a good soldier, Benaiah determined to see it through. And here's the thing. Lion's fur is warm and the dead lion don't need it anymore. And so Benaiah was all right in the snow after the battle. Amen. Church, God still calls us to do hard things in hard places at hard times. And church, we have a job to do. You know, Paul admonishes Timothy and he admonishes all of us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3 that we might endure hardness, endure hardness, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, we must endure hardness. I'm going to tell you, church, the Lord didn't allow us to get out of debt this past year so that we could sit back and rejoice in the bounty and the safety and the security and the serenity of what it's given us. No, the Lord allowed us to get out of debt that we could press forward for His glory. I'm going to tell you, church, even in 2022, we're being called to do hard things in hard places and hard times. You know, I think about the culture we live in. We make a couple of comments about the culture that we are blessed to live in. We face a culture of fear. We face a culture of fear. It seems like everybody, no matter what side they're on, is trying to use fear as a leverage to get everybody else to do whatever they want to do. We live in a culture of fear. And sadly, much of the church has succumbed to the culture of fear. I'm going to tell you, you're never going to be willing to do hard things in hard places at hard times if you live with a spirit of fear. It's never going to happen. God's not given us the spirit of fear, has He? That spirit's not from the Lord. But we face a culture of fear. And if you watch the news and you listen to the commentators and you listen to the talk at the water cooler, all it is fear on every hand. But church, we are not called to live in fear. We are called to live by faith. Hard things in hard places at hard times. We face a culture of fear. You know what else we face? We face a culture of division. We face a culture of division. Do you sense how sharp the division is in our society today? And here's what I've noticed that it has done. It has created all of these false either-ors. Like either you are in this camp or you are in this camp. And the reality is I ain't either in y'all's camp. I'm not following you or you. I'm following Him. But our culture has created these sharp divisions and we have these false either ors where you have to belong to here or you have to belong to here. And any time you want to say something one way or another, the other part just wants to shut you up. And there's such sharp division in our culture. Oh, it's so hard. Well, sure, but the Lord never promised it'd be easy. Hard things in hard places at hard times. The culture of fear threatens to cause us to cower. The culture of division threatens to divide us up. Boy, this is a big one. We face a culture of perversion. Everything in our society is so perverse. The music's perverse. The shows are perverse. The commercials are perverse. The billboards are perverse. Social media is perverse. Perversion is glorified as righteousness. Righteousness is demonized as the worst evil. We live in a society where I was talking to our state representative on Friday night, and he was talking about a bill that he was sponsoring where it would prohibit in the state of Ohio giving hormone blockers and other things to minors. Did we ever think we would live in a world where we would have to try to pass a law to prohibit doing those things to minors? We live in a perverse, perverse world. And it's so sad because it permeates every aspect of our society. Even to the point, it's not hard to find if you'd want to find cartoons designed for 2 and 3 year olds. Deal with topics of cross-dressing and transgenderism. Cartoons designed for pre-K students. It's perverse. It's so hard. It's so hard. How do you keep your family pure in these days? Can you keep your family pure in these days? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. God still calls us to do hard things in hard places at hard times. Culture of fear, culture of division, culture of perversion. We face a culture of violence. I don't probably need to go into too much detail there. Here's the thing, church, we can whine and complain about it, which a lot of people do. Oh, it's so hard these days. Oh, the darkness is so oppressive. Oh, we've never seen days quite like this before. And oh, it's just so hard to live for Jesus. We can whine and we can complain about it, or we can decide, you know what? God's given us a lion to go slay and pick up our sword and go slay it for His glory. Really is that simple. What are we going to do? Are we going to hide? Are we going to sit back and whine and complain? Or are we going to jump into the pit and get to work? Christians, we must stand for the truth. Amen. No matter what it costs us, we must stand for the truth. There may be a day where it costs us something. We must stand for the truth. We must share the gospel. There is no other hope for this world than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there is nothing else, church, that can take away that fear. There is nothing else, church, that can heal that division. There is nothing else, church, that can cleanse that perversion. There is nothing else, church, that can quell that violence but the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must share the gospel. We must protect the purity of our families. We must shine as a light in the darkness. We must be willing to do hard things in hard places at hard times for the glory of God. We can't circle the wagons and wait for a brighter day. This is the day the Lord has made. And this is the lion that He has given us to go after. Church, I feel like this COVID fatigue that sets in. Man, we're going into year 3 of this. And don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody to be reckless. You be smart. We need to be smart. We need to be smart. If you're sick, stay home. Take care of those things you need to take care of. I'm not asking you to be dumb. Please don't be dumb. All right? It's that simple. Maybe I'm speaking a little too bluntly tonight. I don't know. Especially with the business meeting next week. Man. Oh, I've got to watch my emotions come up now. I'm not asking anybody to do that. But I am asking us to recognize that, church, we just can't sit back and wait for a different day, that we have to make a difference today because tomorrow might be too late. And why, church? Why, church? Why, church? Why, church, would we be disappointed? Why, church, would we be scared? Why, church, would we allow ourselves to shrink away when God has given us all we need to kill the lion, even in a pit, in time of snow? Benaiah was a bad, bad man in a very good way. He was one of David's mighty men. Can the Lord Jesus look at you and find a consistent, courageous soldier for Him? Can the Lord Jesus look at you? Can He look at me? Can He look at our church and say, you know what? I got something for them. And they're going to be willing to do hard things in hard places at hard times for my glory. Church, I pray that's me. I pray that that's us. Benaiah, he killed a lion in a pit in snow. So what's our excuse? We really have none, do we? Church, let's take up the cause and live for Christ.